Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Welcoming Elizabeth Peake, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. We have good news, Liz. Front page of the Financial Times, our famous pink newspaper. Eurozone economy grows 0.3% over second quarter. Economists say data marginally raises chances of ECB cutting rates again at the next meeting. There's reason to celebrate in Europe. They're not negative. ECB and the European Central Bank can be satisfied enough to make another cut. They don't like to raise interest rates in Europe. Now, does this connect to our economy? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. Well, there's a lot on the line right now and a lot of decisions and information to come during the balance of this week. Obviously, first and foremost, we have a Fed meeting today and tomorrow. Tomorrow, we'll hear what the decision is. And I'd say there is literally 90% certainty that there will be no rate cut announced this week, but 100% certainty, literally, that there will be one in September. And why is that? Because, in fact, inflation has come down close enough to the Fed's target that they are more and more comfortable that the trajectory is in the right direction and that they may not meet the 2% goal right away, but they're certainly hovering just above it. The latest PCE readings last Friday kind of endorsed that idea. The PCE was up 2.5% over the year before, but slightly better performance than the month before. And all the ingredients look like they're sort of trending in the right direction. At the same time, there's enough indication that the economy is weakening, and in particular that the unemployment rate is inching higher, that I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Powell to make sure that that doesn't get out of hand. What we know in past periods is that when unemployment begins to increase, all of a sudden increases very rapidly. And politically and in every other respect, nobody is comfortable with that happening, least of all Jay Powell, who would like to keep his job. So chances are, yes, that there will be some hint. I mean, we're always parsing words, syllables, 0.1%, et cetera. But there will be a hint that, in fact, September is when we can look forward to the decline in rates beginning. And there will be then a lot of speculation about how fast does that happen? Is it going to be in November and December cuts, or will it be every other month and so forth and so on? But the trend is the important thing. And again, bolstered, I think, by the fact that the economy is showing slowing, not only in consumer spending, which we know is beginning to soften, and that is the economy, that is 69% of the economy, but again, also in hiring. There's just a lot of data points. And by the way, we're going to get a jobs number on Friday, so we'll see if this is borne out, but general, the labor demand is slowing, the wage increases are slowing. There's all kinds of data points to confirm that the jobs market, which, as you remember, was just red hot, insatiable 2 years ago, has definitely kind of got back to a more normal place. And so I think that'll all guide the Fed to making this monumental decision to finally start cutting rates.
Consumers, anecdotes only. Conversation with a young woman from Budapest, Hungary, recently in China, in Shanghai, where she studied languages many years ago. far fewer cranes than she remembers, construction cranes. But to the point, 30 to 40% off on clothing she bought. She shopped in Shanghai. And the counter was light, and the retailers were complaining about the dip in business. This is China, high end. And then I come to America, anecdote again. There's a big feature in the Financial Times about Starbucks being off. The reason I pay attention to Starbucks, Liz, is that's an extravagant cup of coffee. You go into a Starbucks. That means that it's in the hands of the people who have money to buy. People who don't have money don't go in Starbucks. There's a lot of other choices in the world for coffee and donuts. And if Starbucks is off and not able to generate income in the fashion of the old days, that means people are being cautious, even people with money. That's a big part of our economy. And again, we've said this before, it looks like the bounty of government spending from the pandemic and the recovery is either worn out or people can see the end of it. Is that still your conclusion?
Absolutely. I think, no one really was ever able to completely track that increase in savings that most Americans accrued during the pandemic. In other words, everyone got these $1,400 checks and other benefits and so forth and nothing to spend it on. So there was this big bubble of or bulge in everyone's bank account. And then slowly but surely that has been paid down. And now we're clearly at the end of that. So you have two things going on, I'd say, that really impact consumers. One, at the low end, there is no question people are struggling. I saw a chart yesterday of credit card debt and delinquencies by income strata. And clearly the biggest problem is the low end of the income spectrum. And you would expect that maybe, but I think it's accentuated in this cycle because people in the lower half of the income spectrum of America, the ladder, whatever, perhaps benefited disproportionately from all that COVID outlays, all that in trillions of dollars spent to buck up the economy. And they are the ones that now have spent down that savings. And now, even though jobs are plentiful, wage increases are no longer very robust. And I think those are the people that are really struggling and not able to make ends meet. And my gosh, they're paying 25% interest rates on credit card debt. So you know you're in trouble if you're increasing your credit card debt. And that's what's basically taking place. On the high end, it's a really mixed bag. Internationally, the high-end consumer is not doing well. And most particularly, if you look at like what LVMH has been reporting, China is a catastrophe. China isn't just depressed. Everybody in China has cut back on spending. And remember, that became a huge go-to market for LVMH and Chanel and Hermes and all these brands. China was the new hot new market. And now that is really reeling. Here in the U.S., though, high-end consumers have been really helped by the fact that the stock market's doing well. Wall Street is very busy. Also, home prices have held up better than expected, given the rise in mortgage rates. So you do have a bifurcated economy. There's no doubt about it. But I think, generally speaking, consumer is slowing here. And you saw yesterday in the McDonald's numbers, right? I mean, what happened at McDonald's? Well, they had raised prices to offset rising costs. So all of a sudden, people began to complain about $20 Happy Meals or $15 hamburgers. Maybe it's 15 and more than 20. And so McDonald's introduced this $5 Happy Meal in order to lure back consumers. And it perhaps worked, but the answer is they had a crummy quarter. You can't really just all of a sudden discount everything in your store to bring people back and not have it show up on your bottom line. But again, that is a pretty good indicator, I would say, of where the low-income American is, i.e. not splurging, yes, willing to trade down to something that's cheaper, but basically run out of gas.
The markets, watching the stock market, the equity market, and the bonds market, they're running back and forth as if they don't know which side of the ship they're on. Are we sinking or are we sailing high for the sunny climes? That reflects a constant attention to what we've been talking about, the consumer, the Federal Reserve. And I suppose we have to take into account the campaign at this time, although that's unclear to me. The market did very well or first half of this year on AI. Has that worn out the sales pitch?
I'd say a month ago, there began to be articles showing up in the financial press questioning the immediate revenue prospects of AI. And so I think you went from this extreme hype about a new technology, which undoubtedly is an extraordinary new technology and will have profound implications and profound growth out prospects, et cetera, to all of a sudden people saying, okay, this company is now four times its, you know, where it was a year ago. How is this AI boomlet going to really impact its earnings? I mean, at some point you do have to start looking at earnings and revenues and making a case for a company stock that has gone up enormously. And I think people began to sort of think, well, maybe it's going to take a little bit longer than we expected. Yes, every company on earth is investigating how to use AI. Not as many, perhaps, are using it effectively as was initially expected. So a little bit the bloom came off the rose. And, you know, and then you had this urge to broaden out. And so all of a sudden the Russell 2000, which hadn't really gone anywhere in a long time, began to compare very favorably. It went up. And then everyone, you know, to your, I like your analogy of people running from one side of the ship to the other, because it does seem right now very kind of chaotic. You know, we're in the midst of earnings season. We're going to have some big names reporting. And I think that's going to be very influential in terms of whether the Magnificent Seven remains quite as magnificent as they've been. I think it's a very unhealthy stock market when so much of the gains and so much of the capital focus is on very, very few names. It puts too much pressure on those names. They're all priced to perfection. They're all expected to have unbelievable results. And when one falters, as we saw recently with Alphabet, it drags down the whole group because there's no tolerance for shortcoming. So I think, look, if we begin to get rate cuts and people think that's going to stimulate growth, that's, you know, going to be positive for the economy overall. I worry that there could be a bit of a chasm in there where we begin to get rate cuts. But in fact, that's because the economy is slowing down pretty dramatically. And there will be some period of time before those rate cuts really stimulate renewed growth, if you follow me. In other words, there could be a definite downturn in demand. It could be a small recession, whatever. Investors will look beyond that. But I think right now, with an election looming, all kinds of big policy changes being bruited about, tax policy in particular being very uncertain going forward, you know, I think we could run into a period where the market just sort of churns, waiting to see who wins in November and whether we're going to have a low tax, low light regulation economy, or are we going to be amping up Kamala Harris's progressive platform? I don't know.
Yes, 100 days to go. We'll turn to the campaign next and a surprise announcement this morning from North Carolina. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Mack.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs. in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.